Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. Hope to give you some updates on folks and a lot of wonderful accomplishments and some things coming up and maybe some helpful tips, particularly for you folks getting ready for long-distance events in the coming weeks with Marine Corps up this weekend, New York next weekend, and the biggie in our world, the Richmond Marathon, half marathon on the 12th of November. We have probably close to 400 locals doing that, those two events, and of course there's the 8K there too, and we'll talk about that. This is the start of the second season. We use that term quite often for cross country, meaning that this is when it really counts. We're going into districts this week, and then it leads to, of course, regionals in the states on the public school side, and the kids on the private school side are doing their conference, and then they'll do their state championship, which culminates at Woodbury Forest on the 11th, the big private school state meet. Of course, big story there is St. Anne's Belfield girls, see if they can do the three-peat. They've won it twice under Dan Wiggins and have a really good shot of taking it home again. They are really loaded. They picked up two new runners this year, and oh my gosh, they're really on fire. Today, we're recording on Wednesday, so by the time you listen to this, it already happened, but I'm heading out to Panorama for the Jefferson District meet. Beautiful day, beautiful course. Course is in great shape thanks to lots of good rain and sunshine this fall, the perfect combo and cool weather. It's beautiful. Today, 3:30, it'll be the boys and girls going at each other from all of our AA schools in the area. So you've got the Monticellos and the Louisas and the Charlottesvilles. And then the big story, of course, is the Fluvanna girls trying to take down take the crown off of the Western girls' heads. They've had that firmly planted there, except for a couple of Monticello years. That's been Western's crown. And this year, with Rose Brogan's young team looking really good. They're ahead of them in the poll the last few weeks, and they're just piling it on. So we'll see what happens out there today. We'll, of course, report on the next week. But Madeline Hermsmeyer, tied for the top spot in the poll this week with Allison Huschke. Madeline coming in from Monticello. She's the top AA kid in the poll. She's really had a tremendous season. Annie Taylor, the freshman phenom from Western, right behind her, and then Devin Berger from Fluvanna. They'll all be going at each other on the girls' side and the boys' side. Chris Markham from Fluvanna, and then Dave Taylor from Western, the two top kids in the district meet. And then tomorrow, it would be Thursday, you'll have Albemarle, Buzz's boys, the Albemarle boys heading into their start of their stretch, and this stretch is big because a lot of pressure on them, a lot of expectations. They're thriving on it. They're expected to be one of the teams going for the state title, which is so exciting. It's never happened in the history of Albemarle boys or girls that a team's won the state championship. They came close last year when the boys were runner-up. And again, they're really looking good. They're still trying to get that number five, that essential number five guy, to move up a little bit. So you've got Aaron Elder and Joe Cron among the guys that are battling for that fifth spot. And I had a little chat with Aaron Elder the other day, just giving him a little pep talk. So I'm in the shop with his dad, Steve, who's also an accomplished runner, and said, "Aaron, I'm going to put some pressure on you, but that number five guy, all eyes are on you." And he goes, "I know, Mr. Lorenzoni, you know, I'm sure he's thinking, you know, right, back off, leave me alone." But, you know, gave him some words of encouragement and talking about how important it is that that number five guy gets as many places as possible. And bad news, sad news, number one ranked runner in the poll all season, pretty much on the girls' side, Albemarle's Allison Huschke. She is out, finished for the season with a stress factor. Very, very sad to see. The sweetest could be kid and tough as nails runner. That's going to hurt big time when you take your top runner out. So here I'm talking about number five, but we need not forget about the Adam Visakes and the Dave Taylors and the Madeline Hermsmeyers. Those number one kids are just as important. And when they're out, it's a big blow. Single A, of course, we've got a lot of schools looking to do well in the postseason. Wilson Memorial, the big one. I'm good friends with the coaches there, and I've watched that team over the years develop. through seasons, and this is one of the best they've ever had. Steve Guymon is so excited about his guys, so we'll be watching them. Friday evening, we've got Donnie Cowart, our superstar steeplechaser, number 5 in the country. Mike, he's running the Pan Am Games. It'll be on 6:05 Friday evening. I'll be wearing a USA jersey, Guadalajara, Mexico. Very cool. And it's on one of those ESPN streamers, ESPN3 or something.
Gotcha.
But if you want to watch one of our locals, VMI product, but certainly entrenched in the Charlottesville community, Donnie Cowart, this Friday evening. And then Saturday, of course, the ACC's. Jason Vigilante, Julie Stackhouse and company heading down to Clemson. Apparently a new course down there that they're using. And we're hoping that we're really expecting good things from those guys. That's kind of the grass news for the week. I'm excited, really looking forward. Of course, today the district is the end of the season for lots of kids. It'll be my daughter's, Annie's, last race of the season because JV, they compete and they even if their team, their varsity team, makes it onto regionals,
right,
your season's over. So always kind of an exciting time. And speaking of last chances, last Friday evening, Albemarle and Louisa had a dual meet out at Panorama. It was actually a fundraiser. This is a really unique concept. It was PRs for dollars. And what it was an earthquake fundraiser for the Louisa schools.
Yeah.
And the Albemarle kids helped set this up and host it. And very cool, Mike, for every second that your child ran a PR, every second, faster than a PR, you donated $1 per second.
Oh, there
Alec
you
was telling about it yesterday. So there were PRs left and right because it was a beautiful, cool evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the end of the season. And Panorama, despite its reputation of being very challenging, can be quite a friend if you run it properly. They raised $900.
There you go.
Two schools. You know, no admission fee, $1 per second. One
very
boy
cool.
ran a 3-minute and 12-second PR. You can imagine his parents coughing up the
right.
dollars on that one. So very neat stuff and a way to go. And that's the camaraderie that you see between teams in the area. Glenn Anderson checked the 46th box on his 50-state quest. It's time it's New Mexico. He ran at altitude 5,400 feet in Albuquerque. And we were teasing him and saying that, you know, he didn't break 4 hours. And we're like, Glenn, come on. You had 7 days to recover from that last marathon.
Get it
was 5,400 feet. Get it together. You know, come on. You can do better, Glenn. Of course, we're joking, which is pretty amazing what he's doing with
he's
his
getting
quest.
There.
So number 46 is down. Ann Mazur, one of our RMR kids, she's a Notre Dame product. She's an English grad student at UVA. Remarkable improvement over the last year. She ran 17:45, which is about 5:42 pace. Down at a race in Myrtle Beach. She won the race. And when I say won it, she actually won the entire race. Beat
My
everyone
bad.
In the field, gunned down the last guy, the half mile to go. I was telling how bad I felt for that guy because she's telling me how everyone's screaming and yelling for him. Take him down. Beat that guy. You can get him.
Right.
So he became this poor guy. He gets
like
on the
villain.
Starting line that morning thinking, okay, got a chance to win this race. And by the end of it, he's become a symbol of anger and frustration for all these women. Take that SOB down. It's like poor guy's like, I'm sure he wanted to climb into a hole. And it's a do, you know, damned if you do, damned if you do type thing. You know, if he tries to outkick her, everybody's like, hey, you know, and if he doesn't, then he's like, come on, that's not fair. You got to give her a good race. You know, it's all fair. And so pretty cool story. But all joking aside, Ann is a good example, everyone listening, to how consistent hard work, and managing your running, staying on top of injuries, listening to your body's signals. Last year, I was on the track with her with a stopwatch. She couldn't run 1 6-minute mile on the track with repeats, struggling to do that. I mean, she could, but it was really hard. Now she's running 5:42, stringing 3 of them back to back to back without a rest. It's really fantastic improvements. A road PR for her and a great things continue to. I'm sure more great things are going to continue to come her way. Saturday is the kickoff of the 10 miler training program. Anybody listening has anybody in their life that's out of shape and would like to start a running program. Forget about the term 10 miler training program. This is a training program to get you started running. It's our 24th year doing it through the Charlottesville Track Club. 8:00 Charlottesville High School track. Thank you, Rick Lilly, for loaning us your facility while the UVA track is being finished up. By the way, they put one of the surfaces down, they've got the base down, and then one of the surface of the synthetic track,
right,
rubberized track is down. That's really good news. Seems to me they're ahead of schedule. because they wanted that thing ready by January, phase one. Of course, we're hosting ACCs this spring, so it looks like Jason Vigilante's got that right on schedule, which is fantastic. You've got SchultzvilleTrackClub.org, by the way, on that Schultzville 10-miler training program. Just a couple of tips here and some learning experiences. I continue to remind people to let breathing be your guide. And when you're out training, when you're out doing a workout, if you're doing speed on the track, you're just out for a quote-unquote jog, or if you're in a race, if you can hear yourself breathing, you're laboring. If you're laboring, you're in trouble. And that's this morning I had to get on a couple of people on the track. As I heard them go by in the dark, I could hear this. Now, that's if you're running hundreds or 200s, you can be breathing at that level. But if these guys were doing mile repeats and 800 repeats, that's just too intense a breathing mode to be in. That means you're either too tired that day and you're struggling to run a pace and normally be comfortable, or that you are running faster than you should be. And what's the problem with this? It leads to over-fatigue, but more importantly, it definitely leads to injury. You can get injured right there on the spot because you're struggling to run a certain pace, and the breathing's your guide. And if it tells you you're struggling, your mechanics are off. Once your mechanics are off, you're in trouble. Something Bob Wilder said to me recently I thought was an interesting term. He said the more intense you train, the more you need to be paying attention. Recovery days, he and I both have been seeing a lot of injured folks. I just want to sound pretentious because he's a doctor. I am not, but we both see a lot of injured runners. And one of the sources, the main sources we're seeing lately is people not recovering properly. So I can pound this, but it doesn't seem to be settling into some folks' head that even if you're feeling good, quote unquote, on your off days or the day. So people ran hard today. It's Wednesday speed day. Tomorrow and Friday better be laid back, short distance, slower, in the pool running or off. Just don't run if you're feeling tired. But those recovery days become, the more intense your training becomes, the more important those recovery days are.
Yep.
A call out, getting it right to one of my employees, Becky, who was having just a little dull ache of iliotibial band cropping up. She's got Richmond in a few weeks. She's trained so hard all summer for it. She's been a little bit pushing it lately. So this morning she stepped off the track after just one time around. Says, I'm feeling it a little, Mark. I better back off. Smart girl. No use putting a torch to 4 months of training or 3.5 months of training with 2 weeks to go till Richmond. A little advice for Marine Corps, and just if you're running the race, just be aware that you're going to be standing for a period of time before the start. There's no place to sit, so bring a plastic bag or a stadium seat to sit on one of those stadium cushions. Dress warm, overdress at the start because you're going to stand around for now. You don't want to be shivering. That burns energy. That's what happened up at Wineglass. Get some old sweats or some cheap sweats. Throw them off. The homeless can always use them. People discard clothes at the beginning of marathons all the time, and it gets recycled quite nicely, particularly in urban areas like D.C. It's very, very good give back. But the main reason you're doing it at that point is to keep yourself warm until race time. You can always shed down. And then I've been reminding folks over and over again that the curse of the second five is what I call it. So a lot of people have this going out slow down pretty good in the marathon.
Okay.
So they're shooting for a 10-minute mile, Mike, let's say. Okay. So they go out at 10:45 for the first mile, 10:30 for the second, 10:20 for the third, and 10:10 to 10:15 for the fourth. And at 5 miles, they settle into 10-minute pace. And now they're rolling. They're hitting their marathon pace. And what there's a tendency to happen is folks say, well, I've warmed up. Mark said to go out slow. I've done that. And I'm now about 2.5 minutes in the hole off of my pace because I went out so slow. I need to make it up. So this curse of the second five means the second 5 miles of the race.
They're doing it in the
I've seen three programs in the last few weeks where people ran half marathon pace over those 5 miles. So miles 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Instead of running a 10-minute pace, this person's running 9:45. They hang on to that for about 3 or 4 miles, then they fade to marathon pace. And then at 19 miles, the quote-unquote wall, which is man-made, hits them smack in the face. They get Gorilla jumps on their back, so to speak, and they start running 11 and 12 and 13-minute pace. Well, why? Because they misbehave so badly over that second 10. So really be careful.
When's a good time, would you say, for a marathon runner to turn the corner and get into the more of that 9:30 to 9:45 pace?
From 16 on is where you can start to chisel down like that. And certainly from 2021 on, a guy like Kenny Ball, who's, Heidi Johnson, those guys I talk about so often, Louise Knudsen, they're geniuses with it. They each 5K they're getting faster. So if your first 5K, this guy averaged 10:30, his second 5K he could average 10 minutes, that'd be okay. What he doesn't want to drop down to is, 9:30 pace.
Right.
So, got to be really, really careful. I like to break it into 4 or 5 sections. Your first 4 to 5 warm up. Next 5 is easing into your pace. And next 5, you can start to let the seatbelts come off a little bit and go either side of marathon pace. And then from 15 to 20, you can just start to chunk away at it and without the danger of it punishing you. The
right.
earlier on in the race that you let this go, I'm convinced, I study. I don't want to sound too pretentious, but I study and study folks' splits when they bring them into me, and I can almost always pick apart.
Yeah.
I had someone recently, I have no idea what went wrong. I ran it exactly at the way you told. I said, show me the pace, show me splits.
Right.
So she sits down with me and we go through the splits, and I said, What is going on here? Mile 6? What were you? Well, I said, is it downhill? No. And I had one the other day. He showed to me, and he ran faster marathon pace at 8 miles and then faster marathon pace at 9 and 10. I said, well, any of these miles downhill? He goes, no, actually, one of them was pretty steep uphill. So I said, you ran one of your miles uphill, perception of effort, faster than marathon pace that early in the race.
Oy.
And again, I've said this over and over again. If you run uphill at your targeted pace, you're burning gas prematurely because you're actually, the effort on your body is faster than marathon pace. So I know it sounds like I harp and preach and, act like a know-it-all, but it really is an old guy who has been around this sport for a long time and wants to help people avoid these classic mistakes that always, and I say always, lead to trouble. Why do you want to feel, why would you want to, if you had the choice between feeling great at the end of a marathon, Mike, and running fast, passing people, being in control, running a PR, versus dead man's walking.
It's almost
the zombie march. And we're not talking, 28 days later zombies. Those guys were on roids. I mean, you remember that movie? Did you ever see a movie? I'm talking about the one that's on television now on AMC. That's the zombie walk you don't want to have. What's it called? The Walking Dead.
It's almost maybe like a like an ego thing to think. I don't know.
It isn't ego, but this one girl the other day, and it's so beautiful. I gave her a hug for being honest. She said she did for a few seconds have a couple of thoughts, and they went like this: I'm fitter than Mark thinks I am. I'm different than other people. Maybe God made me to be a better marathoner than most people.
Right.
And, of course, the third thought that goes to your head, I'm feeling good now. I want to store a few good miles away. You have to avoid all three of those evil thoughts. Particularly the one about me not knowing what I'm talking about. No, I'm joking. But it has many times. Then people say they hear me in the crowd, whether it's Philadelphia, Hartford, Chicago. Someone said they heard me yelling at them recently. I'm not in these places, but they hear my voice saying, I told you to go out slower.
I heard you in Chicago.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully, all joking aside, really my ultimate goal as a coach and certainly on this Runcast is to help you have a more pleasant experience with your running. Let's see. So a bunch of races this fall, this Saturday, Kale School 5K, near and dear to my heart. All the PE teachers there, Heeshan and Ivory and Hudgens, all the dollars go back. The Hills put on a great race there. That's a Saturday. And if you want to go a little farther out of town, but it's an easy, quick drive, you go out to Zion's Crossroads and support their fire department out there. It's a costume run, dress up, Halloween run, the Screaming 5K. They're good folks, the Browns, Bill and Missy put on that event, and they just do a slam up job with that. Really excellent an event, and that's this Saturday the 29th. And again, Marine Corps is on Sunday, so you can track folks online with that one. Exciting day. I'll be certainly close to the computer tracking a bunch of my folks. Very crowded race. Takes about, if you're trying to run 4 hours, 4:30 in there, you're going to take about 10 to 11 miles before the crowd starts to ease up. So you have to be careful. You don't get blisters or calf strain from darting from one side of the road to the other trying to find little seams. And I think runner of the week, I'm just going to give a call out to Ann on just not only the win, the overall win, the blue ribbon performance, the male-female champion, but also just on how hard she's worked and how she's I'm not the easiest coach in the world. I help coach her along with Dana. I'm tough on her. A lot of moments of just saying, come on, you can do better. And to see her breaking through here is just fantastic. I want to call out to all our folks that helped. We had a coat drive, the big warm-up, Mike, during the month of September and part of October. It was through Maca, Marnie down there, big help. And this is to try and get coats for those in need this winter. They were trying to get 1,500 coats. And our folks, our customers, our patrons brought in 178 coats. I couldn't believe it. We were trying to do 100. That's I thought great. That would have been really neat. 178. So really tremendous. I'm so pleased with that. And then I think I've mentioned this before, but just the Louis Zamperini story, Unbroken. That's such a good read. If you haven't had a chance to pick up that book, Laura Hildebrand, the woman who wrote Seabiscuit, tremendous book, Unbroken. And Louis Zamperini, the top miler in the United States, and his career pretty much, you know, just shot to pieces as World War II opened up and he became a fighter pilot in the Pacific. And the story really is about his relentless will to survive through unbelievable circumstances. So a good read. It should be on paperback pretty soon, I would guess. I got it as a Christmas gift last year and zoomed right through it. So, all right, everyone. That's, I think, it.
One more thing. Happy birthday.
Happy. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, bud. Well, thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.